Good morning. I'm not supposed to be standing up here this morning. It's actually supposed to be Brad and Brad Ford, because we're starting a series on I Love My Church. How many of you guys love your church? Okay, that's good, because we're going to be going through a couple of pieces that speak to the DNA of our church and why we land up here and why we don't just come here through the motions, but we truly love. It's an action. And it's largely because of the pieces of DNA that make up our church. But as I said, I was not supposed to be standing here today. It was actually supposed to be Brad. But his wife threw him a surprise birthday party last night. And there's two parts to this. One, it's funny to see Brad this morning because he's discovered how his wife can go about lying to him and making schemes. She works with him, she lives with him, and she was able to pull this whole thing off without him not even knowing. So he's wondering what else could be potentially a lie in his life, his question. But anyway, a month ago, Jen calls me and she says, PJ, I need your help. You are preaching next week, i.e. March 8th. Is there any way that you could switch with Brad, because I want to give him a surprise birthday, and I don't want him to be preparing a sermon, and he's out last night, and now he's got to come and he's got to preach. So is there any way you could take it off his shoulders? So I'm like, Jen, absolutely. You know, that'd be my gift to Brad. So I thought Jen was doing an amazing thing, and it turns out that she still does a surprise birthday, but in order to get him to where he needs to be for the surprise birthday, she gets him to prepare a speech for some conference that he has to speak to. So he gets all stressed up. He prepares, he goes to Starbucks, he's preparing the speech, and he gets there and he doesn't have to speak anything. So I kind of feel as though Jen still made him prepare. But anyways, so if you need to ask him about service, he can probably preach this morning. So as I said, we are going to be preaching on over the next 3 weeks about why I love my church. I love my church. That's the theme. And the topic I've got today is life groups. And as I mentioned this word DNA, but we all know, we've said it before, that as a church, we're a very relational church. And something core to our DNA is life groups. And I'm going to do something a bit different today. I'm going to speak a bit, and then I'm going to actually have the best way I can actually translate to you what life groups do by having people within this church actually speak to what life groups has done for them. So it's going to be a bit of a balance. There's going to be me preaching. I just want to speak a bit to the why, and then I'm going to have them come up, and I'm going to tell you, or I'm going to let them speak to you as to why they've been in life group, why they've started life group, how life group has helped them, and then we'll see where that goes. Always when you have different people speaking, we'd see that we make sure we get out here in at least less than an hour. So that's going to be the topic of this morning. I have to let you know that I have got a bit of a rant. And this is something that happened this week, so I'm going to try and make sure that I stay on course with my notes. But I've got something that has really, really made me angry. And it's made me angry. I've been listening to some of Mel's friends, and I position them as Mel because when I hear them now, they're no longer our friends, they're Mel's friends. But I just get so frustrated that had they just been in life group, had they just been in solid community, they wouldn't be going through the turmoil that they're going now. And I mean that sincerely, because when you listen to it, it's just so frustrating how the devil was able to isolate, the devil was able to confuse, and the devil has now left them outside a community, and they don't even feel anything. They're neutral, they're vanilla. So I'm going to try and not make sure that I'm not going to go too much off on this rant, but it might come up, and I do apologize, and you can just keep me on track for time so we can have everybody else have their say. So the first thing about life groups is that this isn't something new, and I don't want to be standing here this morning, and I'm not trying to do a sales pitch over here to you, you know, that you must be in life groups. We encourage you to be in life groups because we've seen the benefits of life groups, and we can see that why God has a plan for us to be in life groups. So the first thing I want to let you know is that life groups is not new. This isn't something that when Enjoy Life started as a church, we're like, okay, well, how can we take some more of these people's time? How can we spend more time with them? Let's just put something in their calendars for a Thursday. This is something that has gone back many, many, many years. And the first part that I was drawn to when I was told that I had this topic to speak on, I was thinking of Acts. And it's Acts 2, 42 to 47. James, if you can just bring that up there for me. And just to set some context, this is now where you've just got the fellowship of the new believers. You've got a group. It's about 120 individuals that have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And from there, there had just been another 3,000 that had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, you start hearing of how the Spirit is manifesting amongst these individuals. And if you read through Acts 42 to 47, it sets the context up front. But more importantly, it was speaking, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe as the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had needed. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So what stood out for me over there is that it's not just meeting in temples. It's not just meeting in church, but there was an actual act of meeting in their homes, breaking bread. And so this was something 2,000 years ago we're talking about. So it's not something new. It is something that is part of a Christian's DNA. So I think that's important context as we go through this morning's preach. The other thing is that Jesus never wastes an opportunity for us to connect. Again, it's not just enjoy life. Church is a relational church. God is a God of relationships. He believes and he pushes us to be in relationship because it's through there in which we thrive. A plant can't be out of soil. A fish can't be out of water. And as a Christian, we can't be out of community. And I think that's just so crucial to see that this is God's will for us, that he will never waste an opportunity for us to be surrounded by healthy community so that we can know him, that there can be a level of accountability, and we can be protected. When the Gospels, more so Luke 9, when they speak of the account of feeding the 5,000, there's a part over there, if you read it in Matthew, it just says that Jesus showed compassion on the 5,000, and that he wanted to feed them. Because they'd come far, he'd seen that they're hungry. He saw before they left, he wanted to give them something before they went. In Luke, though, there's something that's not wasted, where it says Jesus commands the disciples to put them in groups of no more than 50. And it has always struck me as to why Jesus would ask that. And I feel again that was Jesus not wanting to waste the opportunity of ensuring that people could share in community, could break bread, and could speak about the miracles and the glory of God. So we'll see where that comes down into the points. But the three things that I wanted to speak to is the why. And I think it's important when we do things and it costs us personally, we have to get babysitters and sometimes we have to bring a plate of food and it costs us our time. There is a cost to be in life group. So you need to understand when anything costs, you need to know why you're willing to spend. Why are you willing to spend time? Why are you willing to sow into community? Why are you willing to bring food? I love the fact that when we speak about breaking bread, last week I tasted crazy bread for the first time. And Jolene bought this from Caesars, Little Caesars. And that was us literally breaking bread, but it was divine bread. It was like Parmesan cheese and it was hot. And I like that. I can see why it's important that we break bread at life groups. But it's important that we understand why. Why are we willing to spend the time, spend the money, take a time out of our busy schedules to be together? And the three things that sum up for me is God wants to be known, God wants us to be accountable, and God wants protection. So let's look at the part where God wants to be known. I think it's important that we understand that God wants to be known by us, and God wants us to be known as well. God knows us, but he wants us to be known within a community. And again, going back to that word of DNA, when you understand that God wants to be known, he's always set an order. God is always detailed. He's always planned. He always has an understanding of how he's going to achieve an objective. And if you look at Exodus 18, James, if you can just pull that up for me, please. So Exodus 18, the just again to set the context, you have the Israelites and you've got Moses. And at the very top, you've got Moses, and Moses sort of stands there every day, day in, day out, and he is the judge. And people bring their petitions to Moses, and day in, day out, he sits there from morning to night listening to the petitions of the Israelites. And Moses' father-in-law comes along, and he's looking at this. Moses' father-in-law is a wise, godly, inspired man, and he's looking at this, and he's saying, you know, what are you doing? You know, how is this actually working for you? Why do you sit your day in and day out? And he's like, well, I've got to listen to the people. The responsibility of Israel was sitting on Moses' shoulders. And that's just to set the context, but just to come in over here, Moses had explained that this is why he does what he does. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice. When your father-in-law, I hope Len's going to listen to this on the recording. When your father-in-law tells you that he is going to give you advice, you listen. So, listen to me now, and I will give you advice. And may God be with you. You must be people's representatives before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach him these decrees and instructions and show them the way that they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you, the simple case that they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. It's important that this was not just for Moses. So when we see a church, the way in which a church functions is you've obviously got your elders, and you've got people that support the elders through deacons, through people who serve in various groups. But the fact of the matter is that God doesn't want you coming here every Sunday, sitting over there and not being seen. God wants you to, yes, take away a word, but also wants to surround you with a community where you can be known, where your skills can be known, where your talents can be known, where your personality can be known. Because through that, God can draw those out. God can commission you for the kingdom. That's important. So this was not just for Moses. I think that if Len had to have a life group, Len and Laurie had to have a life group every Thursday, and all of us had to come inside of it, I think they'd be tired out pretty quickly. But what they were looking for, what God wants, is a structure. God wants a structure in where the church can survive, the people can survive. And it's not just so that Moses got worn out, but the Israelites were served. Israelites could encounter God and make sure that their needs were served. And that's why they break them down into these smaller groups. And that, for me, really represents the first kinds of structures that God wanted as an ordered God, as my wife so nicely put it last week, as an ordered God wants the church to function. His people to come inside there, they can be surrounded. He wants to put us in a community where he can be experienced. So we take in the word that was on Sunday, or the themes that have been placed on the leaders' hearts, to have these themes that we can grow, that we can experience God. But at the same time, we're not just sitting there, we can actually contribute. You know, it's amazing for me how you're not necessarily going to have people that stand here every Sunday and preach. But it's amazing to see the preach within people when we're in life groups. And we just bring out a topic and people start to experience how God is for them, how God has worked in their life, how they share testimonies. And you actually start to see the individuals that grow. And that's usually because they've been surrounded in the community that has seen them thrive. And I think that's what God's intention is for us, that we don't just sit here and come in on a Sunday and then leave. It's that we can take that and it can be incubated in a close-knit group. Just as a seed would be in fertile soil, the seed would then grow and then blossom into a beautiful flower. That's exactly what he wants for you as he commissions you for purpose in the kingdom. The second part as to the why is for accountability. God wants us to be accountable. In Proverbs 27:17, it speaks to, so iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And we use that for our men's group, but I think it's important when we start speaking to the level of accountability that we're required as Christians. God places people in our lives, people through relationship. It's important that it's through relationship so that they can speak into their lives and call them out when things are, maybe they can see better for them. And when you look at the visual of iron sharpening iron, it's not a nice process. There's heat, there's friction, there's two pieces moving together, there's a lot of it. And accountability, the reality of it is, a lot of the time accountability is not fun. Having Hadamon speak to me, calling me out, is not necessarily fun. But I do know that Hadamon has a heart for God, and he wants to see me to my fullest potential as what he can see that God has for me. And that's why there's people that have been surrounded in our lives to hold us accountable. And as we grow through relationship in a life group, so we can start to see things where we can say, you know what, I think God wants better for you. We had an instance in our life group 3 weeks ago, and someone said something, and at that stage I felt that they were looking for compassion, but I firmly felt that God was saying, you need to call them out. And it was only within that safe environment that we could actually encourage that person, that they could see, look, you know, God wants more for you. God doesn't want you to sit here in pity and look for mistakes. And I'm not saying that God doesn't want to provide compassion through a life group, but there's particular points in time where God has placed you in the protection of community so that you can be held accountable because he wants more for you. And I've been through some of those instances in my life, and they're not fun. And I've come from a position of pride, and I've come from a position of shame where maybe I didn't want to share with the life group, or I came from a position of pride to say, this person doesn't know what they're speaking about. And at the end of the day, you realize that this is God who's using this community to speak to me. And it is our opportunity to listen to that so that we can be stronger, we can be better, and we can be activated for the kingdom. The last part of the why for me is protection. And God wants us to be protected. You know, the devil, there is an attack on us. The reality is that the devil wants to snatch what God has given us. And the only way in which we can be protected is if we're surrounded by a strong community. When you look at a gang mentality, the gang mentality is that they will look for people that are isolated. It's actually quite sad to see, specifically in the Western Cape in South Africa, one of the biggest things over there is like notorious gang. And a large part of it is these people who have lost father figures, have lost mothers, and they are alone. And you've got these gang members who come in there and they speak identity to these individuals. They speak confidence to these individuals. They provide them some sense of belonging. And all of that is for their gain. It's not for anything else but for their gain. And once they've spoken identity, once they've given them some sort of affirmation that they belong, they then use them to be the drug runners. They then use them to position them for their own gain. But it's clear that God wants us to be standing together because he knows when we are in numbers, we are protected. James, can you just bring up Ecclesiastes, please? Ecclesiastes 4. Two are better than one because they are a good reward for their toil. They have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. That, for me, just sums up life groups. The fact is that we are this threefold cord where we've got ourselves, we've got our group, we've got Jesus. And through there, we are strong. Actually, when I was working on this sermon this week, in front of me, we had this twine that was sitting on our kitchen table. So I decided to like snap it, and I could. And then I tied three in, and then I couldn't snap it. So it actually works. But the other piece to this is that, just to go over, yeah, I, I was contemplating paraphrasing where it says there, again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? I would put it on record that on the Sunday, on the Saturday morning of men's camp a month ago, Herman came and jumped in my bed, and he lay over there to keep warm. We initially did it to freak out Josh, but then we realized Josh wasn't in the room. So, but anyway, so it does. The idea behind it, though, is that we are stronger together. When we are entwined together in a relationship, we demonstrate a level of strength. And I think this is where I'm going to start. I just want to touch on this rant that happened this week. And as I said, it's Mel's friends, it's not mine. But no, it's our friends. And it started off when Len and Laurie, they were in South Africa. They visited a church, and Laurie was obviously asking after one of Mel's friends and said, you know, how is she doing? And said, well, you know, she's actually not in church anymore. And Laurie reached out to Mel and said, oh, do you know that she's not in church anymore? So Mel just reached out and just said, you know, how are things going? And she came out and she said, you know, she's been on a journey for a couple of years. She's been on a journey where she's been able to listen to some podcasts. She's been able to read a couple of books. And she's really found that, you know, church is not something that is, church is something that's not for her. This is something where she believes in social justice, environmental justice. She believes that, you know, everybody, there is a universal Christ for everybody. There was the belief that actually we should just look at Jesus as a historical figure. All of these things were just, when you're listening to them, and I could because it was on a voice note, and I was listening to them, and I would listen to them in the morning, and then when I drive to work, I'd just be so angry because there just wasn't any truth in their belief in terms of the way that they were going. And then they had she had an opportunity to speak to another friend, and this friend at first said, well, you know, this didn't sit well with her, but then she listened to it again, and then she actually said, you know, this actually makes sense. So she is also now out of the church. And these are two girls that grew up with Mel that were, Mel, the way Mel puts it, sometimes she would look at them and say that they were probably more Christian than she was, just in terms of how on fire they were for Jesus. And these two individuals who were active servants of God have now become vanilla. They now sit on the side and they're fine with it. And it is, when you listen to it, if you ever have the chance to listen to it, it is just these pieces of truth that are not truth. And these individuals have found themselves looking for truth in podcasts and books. And I'm not going to name sort of the books or anything like that, but it's just, it's ridiculous teaching. But when I looked at it, and obviously now as I was preparing for the for this preach specifically and thinking of in the context of life groups, I was thinking, man, if these two individuals were in solid life groups, in solid community, where they could actually say, what do you think of this? It's okay to question. Don't hear what I'm not saying over here. I think it's important that we question, because when we question and we find the answers, we affirm our commitment to the truth that is God. And when I was saying, like, why were these people not in a life group, in a community where they could be protected? Because what they did, just like in their gang mentality, Jesus wants to bring us into community. He doesn't want to start with isolation. He brings us into community. He then comes in and he affirms us of our identity, that we are made in his image, and in us he is well pleased. And then what he does is he doesn't use us for evil. He actually prepares us to be active servants of the kingdom. And that's how we get this protection. So I think of this as a dad's joke, but we're not talking about the Godfather. We're talking about the Father God. And I actually laughed to myself when I wrote it down, because I actually told Mel, I said, clearly I'm now fully a father, because that's a dad's joke, and I laughed about it. But it's true, we're not talking about a gang situation over here. We're talking about the kingdom. And God wants us to belong to the kingdom. And that sense of belonging comes from a very strong sense of community. Community in where we can flourish, community in which truth can be spoken, community in where we can be held accountable. But more importantly, when the devil is coming to snatch our destiny, we have people that care for us, that love for us, and say, no, don't touch. And they can come, they can intercede in prayer, they can speak truth, they can actually actively question, because what I said over here in this last week is, whatever you pursue will become your truth. No matter what you do, whatever you pursue, you'll find truth in that. That will become your truth. And it is frightening to hear what these people actually believe in. But the thing is that as much as you explore truth, so you should be looking, you should be counseling it with the Bible. Where is the Bible in all of this? And literally when we ask, we say, you know, so where is the Bible stand in your question? They say, well, you know, we recognize the Bible, but it's an historical source of documents and it's a great way to live our life. And you're like, man, you've missed the plot. So that's going to be as much as I need to say on that rant, but I'm just saying that's a perfect example of the beauty of community, the beauty of life groups, so that sometimes we've had it in our life groups where we're following a particular course, and most of the time, sometimes we don't even speak about that. I feel sorry for Country. Country had a sermon that was prepared for the second week of January, and I think we only spoke about it last week. Because most of the time, and he's like, I so desperately want to speak about this, but each time something else has come up where we are actually rather focused on that, because that's what it's about. It's not about just following a plan and following a theme and we're going to stick to that theme. It's about, how are you doing, Johan? How are you doing, Morteza? Tell me how you're feeling. Tell me what is it that's troubling. Can we pray over you? And we've done that. Middle of a life group. Let's stop. Let's pray over this situation. That is the beauty of what you get from a life group. But I don't want to go into a position where I'm just trying to be over here and advocate it for you. What I want to do is I actually want to get the people that have been in life groups at different stages in their life to actually speak about it for you. And I think those testimonies are the best testimonies, because then you can actually see life groups in action. So I've asked a couple of people, couples, to come up as well. If I can just ask them at this stage over here, we've got Les and Ingrid, we've got Deanna, we've got James and Leonie, we've got Jeremy and Rowan. Can you just come up, please? All of you guys can come up together. So you can come across a bit. First of all, thank you very much for volunteering. Okay, so I'm going to do it in this particular way. Jeremy and Rowan, can you come over here? And Deanna, if you can just come that side over there. All right. Okay. So what I've asked each of them is, what you see over here, you don't have to have a gap over here. You can come close. Come close. Community, guys, community. So what you see over here, there's actually a particular plan behind why I've asked these individuals to be up here. And what struck me is, when we start speaking about this theme of why we love our church, if you actually look over here, other than Les and Ingrid, we're a church that's going to be 10 years this year. 80% of the time, we've got most of the people that have only come in the last 2 years. And that's great to see, that there's new faces over here, there's new voices. And as a church, we are growing with strong people that are bound together with strong cords. But what I've asked of you is, we've got life group leaders, we've got life group lifers, we've got life group newbies, and we've got a testimony. And I want to do it in a particular structure, because I actually see it starting from the top down. So we start with the life group leaders, and then why you've continued to stay, why you joined, and maybe some of the reservations, and then the testimony. So, Jeremy, you can introduce yourself. You can tell us why it is that you are having, why you want to lead a life group, and maybe some of the things that you went through and the fruit that you've seen.
I'll defer to you.
Okay. So we are Jeremy and Rowan. We've been attending here for not quite 2 years, and leading a life group for almost one. So that's exciting. Why?
I'll use up all the time. The why was, like, when we started, obviously we came here and heard about life groups and was like, that's awesome. We're in. Like, our first week we went to Herman and Yulani's life group, and then we decided to go to Len and Lori's just because this. Well, okay, so you know, iron. Yeah, too much iron at that point. It was, they had a rotation, like a men's night, a women's night, a family night, and which is awesome, but I work shift work, so it's like I'm going to miss a lot of good stuff. Plus, Lynn and Lori had a meal every week, so that's awesome, too. It's incidentally, that's our format, and we love suppers. So the why was, you know, it became pretty quickly after we attended a life group. I was ready to go right away, but that's kind of weird for new people to be like, we're going to lead, because you got to catch the culture of the church, right? So we attended life groups. We attended Brad and Jen's after the summer, and that was actually a flip of a coin between Brad and Jen's and Josh and Dana's, because we're like, we want to go to both. What do we do? So we prayed. We did the biblical casting of lots, and the coin fell to Brad and Jen. And then after that book study was done, we actually went to Josh and Dana's. So it's like we got actually a really good flavor of the different life groups. And then it was at Josh and Dana's. It just grew and grew and grew and grew. And then Herman kind of came to me in secret and said, hey, you know, if you guys decide to lead a life group, we would support you in that. And so I was like, is this like a mutiny here? Or like, is Josh cool with that? Is the church cool? Like, so it obviously became apparent to us that it was time for us to decide. And so we talked about it, prayed about it, thought about it, and just had such peace. And yeah, let's do it. So we started last April. I've talked too much probably. Where are we at here on our notes? Yeah, so the why was just we wanted to, and we knew we would be blessed, and we knew that our home would be a blessing. We have a heart, we've always had a heart to just have people over. We love having people over for meals, for whatever, so leading a life group was just a real natural fit for us. The supper's great, we love to cook, we love the potluck, everybody, like, I'll talk about my life group for too long.
All right, so I guess some fruit that we've seen in our lives, I'm just so amazed at when you say, yes, God, I'll do this, and I'll open my home, and I'll plan a meal, and I'll vacuum the carpet, and then people come, and it's so much bigger than you could ever imagine. Like, I'm always, sometimes, like, right before, it's a little bit frazzling to get everything the way that you sort of want it, and then the people come in, and it's like all the stress just dissipates. And I've heard that from our members as well, that it's just a place where they can come and de-stress from their week. We've really become like a family. We've loved our discussions. Sometimes it's on what we said we were going to do, which is Romans. And one night it was, well, what about like speaking in tongues and the Holy Spirit? And we prayed for that in my dining room, and it happened, and God moved, and it was just so cool. And so we definitely feel refreshed and blessed and loved and cared for, and it's been a real fun experience to lead.
Good. So so Les and Ingrid again, they are the lifers. They've been in life group, I mean collectively, I think 50 years. They're 25
what?
Each. I really meant that as like 25 and you, 25 collectively, 50 years. But I mean, that's a lot of hours. That's a lot of life groups that you've been to. And why? Why would you keep coming back?
Well, I'll just go back a few years. When I was in my late 20s, I came to know Jesus. And I was single at the time. And you might think, well, I knew that I loved Jesus and Jesus loved me. And some people might say, well, isn't that enough? Well, it's not. It really isn't, because you need some more meat. And so one of the first things I did as a single individual in my late 20s, I joined a life group. It was a discovery group. And actually, the leadership encouraged people to be part of a group. So I knew nothing. I really knew nothing except I loved Jesus and Jesus loved me. But that group was really foundational in establishing my faith, establishing the disciplines of a Christian life. And those leaders, Alan and Pauline Slater, I would consider them to be my spiritual parents. So I think that's what rooted me and established me so that today I could say I'm a lifer, truly. I wanted to start off my Christian walk in a positive light, and that was part of it. So then fast forward many, 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 many years later, Well, Les was part of my life in my late 20s, but life was different then. Les lived in Saskatoon, and he was moving to Edmonton, and we knew that our relationship was fast forward kind of thing. And so before Les even moved to Edmonton, I felt it was really essential, even though I'd, you know, been attending Life Group throughout my journey as a Christian, I really thought it was essential for our marriage to get off on the right foot, not only my Christian faith 30 years earlier, but our marriage. So I went to a group where there were people I thought that Les would be able to connect with. He could get knit into the Christian community, into a community where he didn't know anybody. So that's what I did before we were married. I went to a group that I thought would be good for both of us. And so then, yeah, Les arrived. We got married. We've been continuing to be part of a life group, whether, you know, different leading, participating in a life group. Really, we need more than milk. We need meat. And we need community. And I don't want to make any former life group leaders that we were part of feel badly, but you don't always remember what you talked about in life group, really, unless you had a powerful move of the Spirit of God, which can happen, which, praise God, can happen. The important thing really is the relationship and the connections that you build with the people. That's what you will remember. And, you know, just singing some of the worship songs this morning, I am so reminded of God's faithfulness. Because there were many times, even as a single person, or even as a married couple, with life circumstances, you feel like you could abandon the faith. But there is that accountability. And I really felt the other day that people need to know that life group is intended to be, and I really believe that they are, a safe environment, a non-judgmental environment where you can share whatever. I'm not a big talker. I don't really share much of my heart, but I know there's great value in it because there is that protection. There is that accountability. And what is out in the open, the enemy can no longer hold you by that. So there is freedom in being able to be in that cell group that is non-judgmental, and you might think you're the only one experiencing this challenge, but I highly doubt it. So, yeah, being a part of a life group is really pretty critical. And I'll just finish off with this. Some days you don't want to go to life group. Some days Leonard doesn't want to preach up here, but he does. So your partner can encourage you to go. Some days neither of you want to go, and we know that the best thing, although it doesn't always happen, is go to life group. Go to life group. It's a safe, non-judgmental environment. And yeah, I'm just so reminded of God's faithfulness through the years because, I could have left the faith long ago, but it was that critical foundation of the initial life group that I was a part of that saved me.
I grew up in the church most of my life, so life group was kind of like part of my life. But back in the day, it was called Bible study. So it wasn't called life group, wasn't called connect groups, it wasn't called care groups, it was called Bible study. And the Bible is a key important of life groups, but relationship is even a better key important than just Bible. As a teen, and that Bible study was kind of boring because there's no power connected with it. There was no Holy Spirit connected with it. It was just people going through the Bible and, okay, this is what it is. There was no life experience with it. And then some of the churches I was in, it kind of went to like a care group, as they called it. And it was more like a social group. It was the ski club was getting together, or the walkers were getting together, or the runners were getting together, or, you know, those who have four cats and two dogs were getting together. You know, it was, and that really bothered me because I thought, okay, they're just getting together because they're getting together. There's no, and that died away really quickly because Jesus wasn't part of the relationship. The relationship that we have with Jesus is so critical, so important. And from there, the Bible comes alive because it is Jesus. That's his words. And we've been in, you know, newbies into life groups. We've been leaders in life groups. We've been, at times, we thought we were doing good in life group, and we were on a mini vacation in Jasper, and we got a phone call from our life group leader saying, oh, by the way, when you come back next week, you're leading the life group. You know, and so we've been in situations like that where just we've been thrown into it. We've volunteered. We've all those situations, and life group is so critical to our lives, both individually and as a couple. We've been in life groups where the Holy Spirit has just come in and everything that you have planned is just thrown out the window. You know, his power has changed lives. We have seen so many lives changed from critical points. That what's critical in their lives, whether it's been finances, whether it's been healings, whether it's been their relationships with their spouses, whether it's been, you know, hurt or abuse, God has come in and does what he does. And we have seen people on outside of that, you know, remain hurt. There's been no avenue for them to release the anger that they have or the hurt that they have. There's been no avenue, no safe avenue to do that. And so we've seen a lot through life group, and I highly encourage you, those that are not in a life group or sitting on a fence in life group, that's not about you. Maybe there's something you have to share to get it off you to get healed. Maybe there's someone in that life group that you aren't even going to yet, that you will be going to, that needs to hear the words that you have that encourages them. So it's not about you. It's about the community. It's about the group in the life group. And leaders, I just want to say this one thing to you, that even if nobody shows up in your life group, there's still a life group. We learned that really early. That when, you know, when no one shows up, or even when one person shows up, those seem to be the very best life groups because they went deeper than they would have gone any other time. And just remember, God knows your life group. He knows what needs to be said. He knows how he needs to come through and just show you what, how good and how great he is.
Good. Thanks. Just, Leonie, before you go on, for you, Les and Ingrid, I think, and we speak on anybody who's been in a life group over here, maybe you're not necessarily leading the life group, but I can tell you now, you guys are the rocks on which life groups are built. And your wisdom, your experience, your encouragement, all of that. I've been in two life groups. I've had the privilege of being in two life groups where you've been in. And the way I describe you is you are rocks that hold together a life group. There may be people leading, but again, your experience, your wisdom, that being shared over there just transforms a life group. So thank you for what you contribute to this church. Leonie and James, you are new to life group in the context of Enjoy Life. Tell us about that.
Okay, so no, we're not quite new to life group. I've been part of life groups in the past, but James and I moved to Edmonton last year in June, and we luckily met Helen and Yulani, and they dragged us to church, which was amazing. And then when they announced life groups, and Helen and Russell were going to be leaders, we said, well, hey, let's join them, because we know them, and they're pretty close to us. So that was a really good experience for us. As we were new and we didn't really know anyone in Edmonton, it was just really nice slotting into a group of people that we knew cared about us, and they really made an effort to pull us into the group and make sure that we have everything that we need and we have the support that we need being new year. So just really, really good for us.
I have notes because I've been sick the last couple of weeks and I wanted to make sure that I don't go off track. Leonie and I actually met each other in walking to church at university. So we've been traveling an up and down church life over the last 13, 14 years. And then we were travelers as a young couple, and then as a family. We were overseas a lot of time. We were not close to any family or community. A lot of time it was just people that we worked with that was our community. And then we moved to Edmonton, as she said, we didn't know anyone. I think Russell and Helen might be the first of the first three people that I met in Canada. So that in itself was a big step for us. And after a couple of years that we spent not having the opportunity to go to church or being involved with a life group before we had moved here, joining the church and the life group kind of went hand in hand. We came to church, we enjoyed it, and we said, well, let's take the other step and join a life group. And I think everyone has those reservations to start with. You're like, you know, how intense are these people going to be? what are they going to make me do? It wasn't that difficult for us. And I think what we actually found was being in a group with a lot of young families, a lot of couple and single people as well, we found people that were at similar points in their lives, going through similar things that we were. Either at that time or people that had already gone through it or people that were coming up close to going through same things. And I think that provided a good support network because that was the family that we didn't have here in Edmonton. So you had people that you could talk to, and you also develop friendships as well. I have people that I could watch my soccer with or can talk about other things. So it develops in that sense. And for us, I think that was very important, finding a sense of belonging. And I think a life group and an expansion of the church has provided us an opportunity to serve as well. I think both of us really enjoy serving. We enjoy helping. I was with the kids last week, and I'm on AV this week. Mostly, if I'm back there, then no one can hear me singing, so that's probably better. But it also I think helps you feel valued. It helps you feel useful in your community that you have something to do, and you're not just there kind of on the periphery, sitting or standing around. And I think that was the main part for us. I think it created that sense of family and community that we didn't have here. And
the food is really good.
Oh, and the food, yeah. Thank you, Johan and Anna. but yes, no, it's created a place for us to be, a place for us to belong, which has been major for us.
Thank you. Jenna, the fruits of a life group, obviously there's a testimony of here, and I've always heard snippets of, in this week when I was chatting to you, you had snippets of your testimony. Share it with us.
I have notes too. Because I have tons I could talk about, and Herman and Yolani, you guys were right, 5 minutes is not a lot of time. So here are my notes. No, I can't really talk about life group until I talk about what got me here at this church, because it's sort of all connected. And so about a year and a half ago, before that, my family, we didn't go to church. We didn't attend church. We went with my parents to their church probably once or twice a year, maybe, if my mom was pushing us to go, and we weren't really connecting. And I'll be honest, it didn't sit well with me. I told myself I'm gonna get emotional, but I prayed a lot about finding a community and finding a community that would help me build a relationship with God and help my family build a relationship with God. And we didn't have it, and we were really busy. We were almost too, I came prepared because I knew I couldn't do this. So don't mind me. We were too busy for a community. Both Jay and I working full time. My daughter's in daycare. We have three daughters, Zoe, Juliana, and Paige. And it's funny because I find when you pray, sometimes you're so, and it's, you mentioned self-pity, you're so caught up in what you want that you don't really realize that God has an answer for you. And it's right there. You just sort of have to lean in the right direction. So Juliana was attending the daycare in this church. I was coming here 5 days a week, twice a day, every day, picking her up, dropping her off, and going home and saying, God, please bring us a community and a church. And it took about 2 months before I was like, okay, if I can come here every day, Monday to Friday, twice a day, I could probably haul my family here on Sunday morning, whatever those excuses are. I did come alone the first time, and I was a little nervous, and lo and behold, I knew Ryan, and then next thing you know, Ryan introduced me to Genevieve, and next thing you know, everyone's like, come sit with us, and I'm like, oh my goodness, why didn't I do this sooner? And so we started attending here. Now, my biggest prayer during that time was finding a community and some building a relationship with God, and that my children would get that relationship with God, because I felt like I was failing as a mom in that aspect, and I was really hard on myself. And so we started attending here, and then up comes the, you should join a life group, here's the reasons why, and I had every excuse there was to not join one, to be honest. I even started serving with a life group before I attended a life group, because I was like, I don't know, we're so busy, I'm working, I gotta pick the kids up from daycare, then we have activities. Julianne has choir on Thursday nights, so sorry guys, doesn't work. Well, not only that, I got to drive all the way to wherever these life groups are, and I don't know how long that'll take me, and I don't have time, and I'm overwhelmed, and I come every Sunday, so that's good, right? We're doing that. And Rowan and Jeremy, who live 2 minutes away, not a two-minute drive, literally a two-minute walk from my house, start a life group in the spring once choir is over, and I have no more excuses. So there's God again saying, no, it's right here. Just lean in that direction. And so we attempted to go in the spring, and we were really nervous. In fact, the first life group, Juliana saw the people in the window and ran back home. And the great part about it now is she's the one reminding me that we have life group. And she's telling me, hey, it's life group today, right? What are you bringing? Are you making cookies? Are you bringing a salad? What are we eating there? I'm like, I don't, we'll get there and we'll have food. Don't worry, it'll be a lot of fun. So it's been really great. And the big part about it is when we started, at the time, it got me reading my Bible again and getting into scripture and really reevaluating my relationship with God. Forget about worrying about my kids. I had to reevaluate me and the decisions I was making for myself, and talking with everybody and realizing everybody, they all have the same questions I do, and we can all talk about all of the same things and really support each other. And not only is it me now praying, it's this whole group of people, and we're supporting each other. And I, like I said, was reevaluating things, and it was one Sunday, Leonard said something, and there was a little spark in there in my heart, and there's God again leaning me in the right direction, and I look over at Jay and say, I think I need to quit my job and I need to stay home. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, well, that was easy. And life group prayed for me, and it was a big adjustment, and it was the best decision I made for my family. I have time now. That time I didn't have to join a life group, to come to church, it's there. And I have no excuses to support my family and to help them build a relationship with God. And every day there have been, and I could talk about all the amazing things that have happened this year because of it. And one thing, three people in our life group in November decided to get baptized. And that day was so special, not just because I decided to get baptized, but because when I was sitting there and I was looking around, I realized my prayers are being answered. This whole community that I prayed for this relationship that I want my kids to have, they're sitting there learning about God, learning what it is to have God in their lives. My husband and I are having amazing conversations about truth, and I purposely say my prayers are being answered because they will continue to be answered, not because they have been answered. And this community doesn't exist because I attend church every Sunday. It's because we live together, we pray together, we come together every week, more than just on Sunday. Whether it's a life group or going to a women's ministry or men's ministry, but we're living together. And with that comes all the miracles God has for us. And so I'm excited for the next year to see what else there is in our life, because it has been so wonderful. And that's my testimony.
Awesome. I actually called Deanna yesterday just to check that everything was good to go for her testimony. And I thought about it, that it is actually a year ago, on the day actually that I met you. And I saw you moving around in the church, but really when I actually met you, and you just started coming, just to explain how she just thrives in community, was it was the Saturday after Victoria was born that she came and bought us a meal. And I said to Mel, I was like, who is this? And I was so taken aback for your love for community and what you wanted to do to serve in that community. So it's not only words from Deanna, it's actually been lived. And I just want to thank all of you guys again for sharing those amazing testimonies. Can we just give them a round of applause again, please? So I can get the band to come up. It's very difficult, and I'm not even trying to outdo the testimonies that were spoken this morning, but I think just so we can sum it up, God wants, he's ordained a plan for us to be connected within the community. He has set structures within church. These aren't things that are just inspired by or just put apart in terms of leaders wanting to do this. This is stuff that God has put on hearts so that because he has a heart for you. And when we start speaking about accountability, yes, the side of it is friction, and the side of it is painful, but the important part is that you're sharpened. They didn't say that, you know, they're not speaking about you being blunt. They're speaking about you being sharpened. And when something is sharp, it can be used. A tool that is sharp can be used. But a tool that is sharp can also defend. A tool that is sharp can actually, if you're swinging a sword, you can actually defend yourself against the attacks of the enemy. And that's why God wants you to be sharp. And that's why he surrounds you with other iron that can actually sharpen you. And from a protection standpoint, again, God wants to roll you into community so that he can speak his identity into you. He has an identity for you. He doesn't want you to be misled. He doesn't want you to sit there confused. And I think when you find yourself in a community that speaks protection, that speaks identity, and you can now be activated for the kingdom, it's not just about sitting. It's now that you can go out and you can speak life to others. Life group is supposed to give life so that you can speak life to others, whether it be in your workplace, whether it be in a play group, whether it be to your kids. That's the purpose. That's the why of what we do.